Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. We continue our study of Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem, as it is recorded in Luke. And we are at that place where Jesus was asked by a disciple following him, "Lord, teach us to pray." We've been here now for a few weeks about this wonderful section here about the Lord teaching his disciples and us to pray. So let us start by reading from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, to center us into God's word. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Thank you, Lord, for your word. Joe, would you pray over the word today, please, and for me?
Lord Jesus, we ask that you put a hand on Randy.
Yes, Lord.
That I can guide him to the way you like this message. Open our ears to where we can hear what you have in store for us. And let it sink deep into our minds,
yes,
where
Lord,
it's always there when we need it.
Amen.
Jesus,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Joe. So we've been studying. We studied the first three petitions in this prayer in the past couple of Sundays. They are, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There's like three petitions in there. And that's how the King James reads, or the New King James reads. Many newer translations here in Luke, you see, reads, "Father, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come." We talked about this at a greater length last week. The difference is because the newer translations into English have access to much older manuscripts than were what were available in the early 1600s when the King James was written. It was finished in 1611. And these older manuscripts are considered more reliable, which includes, of course, the Dead Sea Scrolls and lots of other things that have come out much, much later than the early 1600s. So many versions, like the NIV, and others will note in footnotes something like "some manuscripts" and then include additional wording. And so mine will say "some manuscripts" and it'll say "Our Father in heaven." Some manuscripts say "come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Today is not the day to discuss all those differences. I'm not led to review, you know, the past couple of sermons or to talk about some of those things, but we are going to go with the broader reading, as it gives us much more to chew on. And we continue forward today. And so we come now to the fourth petition. "Give us this day our daily bread." One would think that this petition needs very little explanation. It's simple. It's clear. But there are actually many interesting interpretations of this passage that have taken place over the centuries. So let's look at some of those less obvious interpretations of this passage's meaning. Since the early church, the bread has been identified with the bread of the Lord's Supper. In the first orders of service, the Lord's Prayer was prayed at the Lord's table. And some have taken this petition as a prayer to be granted by God the daily privilege of sitting at the table of the Lord and eating of the spiritual food a person receives there. The bread has been identified with the spiritual food of the Word of God. And in that light, this petition is a prayer to receive the true teaching, the essential truth, which is the Word of God, and which is also necessary. Necessary food for the mind, heart, and soul. The bread has also been interpreted to mean Jesus himself. As we read in John 6:32 through 35, where Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Let's turn to John chapter 6. verses 32 through 35. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life." If we look forward in John 6 to 47, it says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." What a powerful statement. He gives his life for the life of the world. He gives his life for your life and for my life. We've studied these passages in the past when we talked about things like the need for daily reading of God's word and daily prayer. We need that daily food. Jesus is the Word, we know, as we read in John 1:14. And here, Jesus equates himself as the bread from heaven, like manna given in the desert, which brings life. I am the bread of life. Manna had to be collected daily. Those of you who remember the process, manna had to be collected daily and only in the amount necessary for that day, except on the day before the Sabbath when 2 days' worth would be collected. Anybody that collected more, it would just spoil and rot. And Jesus says that those who ate the manna still died at some point. We just read it. They still died. But those who eat this living bread from heaven, which is Jesus himself, will live forever. And I believe that this interpretation has powerful meaning for every Christian, every follower, every disciple of Christ. As we pray this prayer, we entreat God to give us that bread which we need for everlasting life. So we're really not just praying for enough bread for me to not be hungry today. We're praying for bread for everlasting life. We're saying, "Please, Lord, do not withhold this bread of life from me, but instead give us a yearning for it daily and give us just the amount we need." Although we need not agree on all these interpretations of this passage, we don't need to reject any of them either. They have each given their own truth and their own relevance as we study God's Word. It's interesting. The place where there is difficulty in understanding the meaning of this passage is with the Greek word used. It's called epiosias. Epiosias, which is translated daily in most translations. But interesting, the word has not been found anywhere else in the Bible. And in the past, it wasn't found in any Greek literature, anywhere. Some thought the word was newly created by the apostles, and others thought it was just two words that they put together. So it was really not possible to be sure what the word actually meant, since there were no other uses of it anywhere that they could find. But sometime in the middle of the 20th century, a fragment of papyrus was found with this word on it. And the papyrus fragment was a person's shopping list. With an item on the list was this word, epiosios. I can't remember how to pronounce it. Epiosios, I think it is. Epiosios. It was a note to remind the shopper to buy supplies of a certain food for the coming day. And so William Barclay, if you read some of his commentaries, he translates it his own way because he understands Greek and Hebrew. He translates it, "So give us today bread for the coming day." He further comments that the meaning is this in his mind: "Give me the things we need to eat for this coming day. Help me to get the things I've got on my shopping list when I go out this morning. Give me the things we need to eat when the children come home from school and when the men come home from work. Grant that the table not be bare when we sit down together today. As we look at this simple petition for our daily needs, we can see several biblical truths being revealed. It tells us that God cares for our physical body, because Jesus tells us, give us bread every day. And the gospel accounts of Jesus healing the sick and feeding the people are easy to find. They're throughout the gospels. Jesus, in many occasions we read, healed every disease among the people. We all know this story, the feeding of the 5,000, as well as the feeding of the 4,000. Jesus had compassion on the people, and he healed the sick, and he gave them food to eat. The word says, as we read those stories of the 5,000, the 4,000, they all ate and were satisfied. It's not like he just gave them barely enough to kind of take away the hunger pangs. They were satisfied. And so truthfully, any teaching that belittles, despises, and slanders the body is not in line with God's word. There's a lot of teachings like that. There were, especially even in the first century. They continue. But God is interested in our physical bodies, and our physical health of our bodies. Because why? Our bodies are his temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, we read, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So this petition makes it clear that we are to look for our provisions one day at a time and not to worry about the unknown future. This daily action is clearly connected to the daily collection of manna. They always had to go out each day to get their manna. We must not worry about tomorrow, but tend to the business of today. And to worry about tomorrow is to not trust God. We all know that. But it's not easy for us not to worry. But let us try to catch ourselves when we start to think that way. Say, wait a second, Lord, I'm trusting in you. Trusting in you. Because when we worry, it's not pleasing. Do we want to do things that are not pleasing to our Father? Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that a great revelation from our Savior? And it's right there during that whole wonderful Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. We're not to worry about tomorrow, especially in the context of provision. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We needn't add tomorrow's trouble to today's, because that trouble hasn't even arrived yet. How often do we worry about something that then never even occurred? And yet we spent time worrying about it. Also, this petition gives God his proper place in our lives. We need him daily to intervene on our behalf and to provide for our daily needs. We freely admit that we receive our food that is necessary to support life from God and from God alone. No man has ever created a seed that will grow. We can analyze them, but we cannot create them. All living things come from our God. Our food, therefore, is a direct gift from God and demands our thanksgiving for it. I think it's just a great habit. Always be thankful for the food God provides. This petition also reminds us how prayer works. God waits upon mankind to call upon him to move on our behalf. It reminds us that prayer and action go hand in hand. It is true that the seed comes from God, but it's equally true that it is our task to plant that seed and to cultivate that seed. Paul even talks about that. I plant and the other waters, but what? The increase comes from God. God presents opportunities to receive food, but we must go out and we must get it. We must prepare it. Think about it. The manna fell from heaven, but it did not fall into the people's mouths. Amen? God's bounty and man's toil must combine. They had to collect it, and they had to prepare it. Prayer, just like faith, without works, is dead. When we pray this petition, we are recognizing two very basic truths, that without God, we can do nothing. And without our effort and cooperation, God can't do anything for us. We have to participate in that way. Jesus paid it all. We talk about that all the time here. But we have to believe it. And I choose to know it to be true. I don't believe it anymore. I just know it to be true. And then finally, please note that we are not taught to pray for my daily bread. Just as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it's not our Father, it's not my Father. I don't have my God and you have your God. It is our Father. We are one family. We are also taught to pray for our daily bread. The Lord's Prayer teaches us not to be selfish in our prayers, not to just pray for ourselves, not just pray that we receive our daily bread, but that we may share our daily bread with others. By praying, give us this day our daily bread, we see it as a prayer to be prayed daily in communion with others. And in what way do we gather together every day? We don't gather together every day to worship in the church, but we gather together every day as a family over a meal. And therefore, it seems most appropriate to pray that prayer with your family. Now, perhaps not always do we gather every day over a meal, but when I was a kid, we did. When I was a kid, I could be out and gone and playing with my friends after school, but I needed to be home for supper. And then later on, I was cooking the supper because Mom was at work and Dad still wasn't home yet. And I said, well, I'll start cooking. It's a great tradition to eat together. Now, finally, in this, every word in this petition has a lesson. So let's go through this together. When we ask for bread, that teaches us to be moderate and to be humble. We ask for bread. Not the choicest, not the best, not the extravagant. We ask that for that which is just wholesome, that which we need, but not necessarily what we desire. It is humble. And we ask for our bread. Again, that teaches us honesty and hard work. We do not ask for the bread out of other people's mouths. We don't ask for the bread of deceit. We don't ask for the bread of idleness, but for the bread honestly gotten. It is our bread, rightfully ours. And we ask for our daily bread, which teaches us not to take thought for tomorrow, as we already read, but to constantly depend upon divine providence, divine provision. Just as those who live from hand to mouth, we are to live hand to mouth in relationship to our God. And we also beg of God to give it to us. Don't sell it to me, please. Don't lend it to me, but give it. Give it to me as a gift. The greatest of men must be indebted to the mercy of God for the gift of their daily bread. Do we think of it that way? I believe we need to start thinking of it that way. I think many of us actually do here in this little group realize every meal, every gift of food is a gift from God. And we pray, give it to us. Give it to us, not to me only, but to others in common with me. And this teaches us charity and love and compassionate concern for the poor and for the needy. It intimates also that we ought to pray with our families together. We in our households, as we eat together, and therefore as we eat together, we ought to pray together. We pray that God would give us this day, which teaches us again to renew the desire in our hearts and minds towards God daily. Daily. We must pray to our Heavenly Father as each day comes. Renew our bodies. Know that we would do as well going a day without meat as we would a day without prayer. How strong would we be if we go for day after day after day without food? And we think about, well, how well would I be if I go day after day after day without prayer? So we daily pray. And so now let us pray this prayer together again. And this time, let's use the words we see in Luke as sins and sins, as opposed to debts and debtors or trespasses and trespassing. I like the way it's worded in Luke. I like to see the different translations, but in Luke it says, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." It's more of a statement of what we're doing. We are forgiving people, and that's what God is asking us to do. But we'll pray this now together in a more traditional sense, using the word sin and sins. Let us join together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.